This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch HaMaboyim, Agot HaMoyed. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Maseches Kesubais, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Nun Hey Amud Aleph said that Rav and Rav Nasan, one said the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and one said the halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. What did Rav Elazar ben Azariah say? Rav Elazar ben Azariah says when it comes to the Tosefes Ksuba, only a woman who had Nesuin gets Tosefes Ksuba, not a woman who only had Erusin. Presumably, the rationale of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is we assume a guy was only giving Tosefes Ksuba out of the special love he has that is engendered by Nesuin. But if it never was consummated and never came to Nesuin, then he never intended to give Tosefes Ksuba. So since he never intended to give Tosefes Ksuba, she doesn't get it. So the halacha, the rationale of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, is we follow presumption. We follow presumption. We don't know for sure, we didn't interview the guy, why he gave Tosefes Ksuba. Well, we presume that the reason he gave Tosefes Ksuba is because of the special love he has when the marriage is consummated. And therefore we could presume if the marriage was never consummated, he never intended to give Tosefes Ksuba. Well, that being the case, we know that between Rav and Rav Nasan, one of them said the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So whoever holds of presumption when it comes to monetary law, whichever one of these two opinions follows presumption, that will be the opinion who says that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So first the Gemara brought a raya, Rav Nasan holds of presumption, and then the Gemara said, well, Rav also holds of presumption. So says the Gemara, Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Ela Tarvayu Azli Basar Amdana. Both Rav Nasan and Rav follow presumption. Manda Amar Shaper. Manda Amar Halacha Shaper. The one that says Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it makes a lot of sense why he says Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because we follow presumption. Manda Amar In Halacha, the one that says the Halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Hachanami Umdin Daitahu. The reason why he is awarding the woman Tosefes Ksuba, even though it never reached the state of Nesuin, is here too, we evaluate his das and we assume he's giving the Tosefes Ksuba irrespective of whether the marriage is ever consummated. Hachanami here too, umden daitahu. There is a presumption. Misham ikruve daitahu. It's because they became close, even in the state of Erisin. Meaning it's not that. See, originally, the Gemara thought, you know why the Tanakhama holds that a woman in Erisin gets Tosefes Ksuba? It's not because we follow presumption. It's because the Ksuba didn't say otherwise. So we just follow the unqualified Ksuba. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah follows the presumptive meaning that he probably only meant to give it from Nesuin. But now we're throwing in a monkey wrench. Now we're saying that presumption could be viewed in a different angle. We could presume that the reason he gave her Tosefes Ksuba is not because of the love of consummating the marriage. No, it's because of the very strong bond they already formed, which exists even from Erusin. So now we're saying presumption works both ways. Yosef Rav Chanina Kamed Rav Yanai. Rav Chanina was sitting before Rav Yanai. V'ka'amar, and he was saying, Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Chanina was sitting before Rav Yanai, and he was saying, the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Lei, actually the Bach adds a word, Yosef Rav Chanina Kara, Kamed Rav Yanai. Rabbi Chanina, the expert of Psukim, was sitting before Rav Yanai, and he was and Rabbi Chanina was saying the halachas like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Amarlei, Rabbi Yanai said, "Puk kari karach lebra." Go read your Psukim outside. Ain halachas like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is not like Elazar ben Azariah, meaning you might be an expert in psukim, but go take your expertise and toss it, because what relevance does it have when it comes to establishing the halacha? Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Misham Rabbeinu. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said the name of Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu, Rashi says, is Rav. Tosfos says it's Rebbe, because it can't be Rav, because if he's saying in the name of Rav, look, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Misham Rabbeinu, if Rabbeinu is Rav, halacha k'rev lez ben Azariah, then the Gemara should have brought this as a proof that Rav was the one who said the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and Rav Nosson is the one who says the halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rav Nachman said, Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, halacha k'rev Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman didei Amar, Rav Nachman himself says, ain halacha k'rev Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'nehardoi mishmed Rav Nachman Amri, Neherdoi in the name of Rav Nachman says, halacha k'rev Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Nachman, said the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, meaning that's what Shmuel held. Rav Nachman himself says, ain halacha k'rev Elazar ben Azariah. Neherdoi says in the name of Rav Nachman, the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'yafagav delot Rav Nachman v'amar kol dayana dedon ke Rav Elazar ben Azariah hachi v'hachi tahavi. Even though Rav Nachman, we know, even put a curse, and he said, any dayan that judges like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so and so should happen to him. Afilu hachi, nevertheless, halacha ke Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'halacha l'maisa ke Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Halacha l'maisa is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Boy Ravin, new Gemara. Ravin asked, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you only get Tosefes Ksuba if you're in a Sua. Nichnasa l'chuppa v'lay nivala mahu. What if she entered to Chuppa and she never had Bia? According to what Rav Elazar ben Azariah say about a woman who entered to chuppah and didn't have bia, what would the halacha be? Chibas chuppah koina? Is it the love of the canopy that is koina for her, the right to collect tosefes ksuba? Or chibas bia koina? Or is it the love of relations that is koina for her? So in other words, she is a nesua. It's just she had chuppah without bia. Tashma, come in here. The Tani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught, Shaloi Kasavla El Al Chibas Laila Harishain. He only wrote her Tosefes Ksuba for the love of the first night. Says Gemara, I Amrit Bishalma Chibas Chupa Koina. If it's the love of Chupa, Hainu the Amar Laila Harishain. That's why it says the first night, because Chupa will be the first night always. He'll never do Chupa the second night. Eliyamr chibas bia, if it's a love of bia, koina, bia belayla rishon isa, mikam ve'elech lisa, is there only bia rishona the first night and not after that? I guess what the Gemara is asking is, bia rishon is not always successful the first night, so really the bia rishon will be, could be the second night, the third night, the fourth night. So if it's bia, then why does it call it layla rishona? Says the Gemara, well, what does that show? That it's chuppah? Then if it's chuppah, why does it refer to it as the night? Chuppah is not only in the night. Chuppah could be during the day. Ve'elamai chuppah. Elamai is referring to chuppah. Chuppah belayla isa b'yamam alasa. Chuppah is only in the night, and in the day it's not. So then what? Says the Gemara. And if it's bia, is bia only in the night? Bias could be during the day, right? The Gemara says that Tamei Chacham could darken the situation, and Bia would be permitted during the day. Ula Tameich, Bia, Belaila, Isa, B'yamam Alasa. According to you, that's referring to Bia, is Bia only in the night and not during the day? Ha'amar Rava, but Rava said, Im Hayu Bebayis Afel, if it was in a dark house, mutter, it's permitted. Says Gemara, no. If it's referring to biyah, we understand why it talks about the night, because it's derech eretz. Says Gemara, holay kasha. If it's referring to biyah, that's not difficult. Oirach ara kamash malan. It's teaching derech eretz. The biyah belayla, that biyah is in the nighttime. Ela chupa kasha. But if it's referring to chuppah, why does it only refer to the night? It says Gemara, chuppah nami loy kasha. Chuppah is also not difficult. Kivan de stam chuppah lebiya kaima. Since stam chuppah is for biya, oirach ara kamashlan. It's teaching me a typical situation. Since chuppah is for the purpose of biyah, and biyah is in the night, chuppah is typically in the night. De belayla. Fine. What if a person says, the Gemara has the following shayla. Boy Rav Ashi, nichnasa l'chuppah persanida. She entered the chuppah, and then she became a nida. What's the halacha? Now, when did she become an Ida? Pashta, she had to become an Ida before she ever entered the chuppah. The first shayla was, nichnasa l'chuppah v'loy nivala. But you could have. Now the shayla is, what if it was not even a chuppah haroi labia? Says the Gemara, Nechnasa l'chuppa u'persanida. Mahu, im timsulaymar chibas chuppa koina. If you're going to say it's the endearment of chuppa that's koina, chuppa d'chazi l'biya. Maybe that's only chuppa that's fit for biya. Ava chuppa d'olay chazi l'biya loy. Aydil mo'loy shnar. Maybe it doesn't matter, so teku. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda oymer, ratza koisev l'besula. Now, this is going on the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says something very interesting. You have to give a woman 200 zuz. But what if you want to give, you know, let's say she wants to give him a break. So you could, instead of just writing her 100, you could write her, you owe her 200. And she writes, I received 100. Even though she didn't. But that's, it's like akin. In other words, it's sort of it's like being moichel. So there's a ksuba of 200, and she writes, "I received 100." Even though she didn't, it's a way of like her being moichel part of the ksuba. So says the Gemara, the savar Rabbi Yehuda the kaisen shayvar. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold? You write receipts, because think about it. He has a shtar that he owes her 200. She writes for him. In other words, actually, she has a shtar that she has a ksuba that the guy owes him, that the guy owes her 200 zuz. She then gives him a receipt to hold on to that he paid 100. But that means he better hold on to that shtar, because if he loses that shtar, she could always pull out the ksuba that he owes her 200, and he has no, he's up the creek without a paddle because he lost the receipt that he paid 100 already. So, does Rabbi Yehuda hold we write a receipt? V'hatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Misha para miktsas chayvay. What if a borrower paid back part of a debt? Rabbi Yehuda says yachalef. Then, if the borrower paid back part of the debt, we don't say okay, hold on to a receipt because he might lose it. But rather, we take away from the lender his original document. Let's say that the borrower owes her 100, owes him 100 bucks. And now we switch it. Now the borrower only owes him 50 bucks. Because we don't want the borrower to be in a situation where he might lose the receipt.
So you rewrite the whole shtar.
Yes, correct. You rewrite the whole shtar. Right. You rewrite the whole shtar.
Okay.
What?
An Adam, get the same Adam.
Right, right. In other words, Beis Din will rework the shtar to a lesser amount because we're afraid if the lender still has the original shtar, the borrower might lose the receipt that... We're afraid that if the lender... If the lender still has the original shtar, the borrower might lose the receipt that he paid back. So Rabbi Yehuda says you write the whole thing over. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yichtav lo shoiver. If you paid back part, you just write a receipt. The thing is, Rabbi Yehuda is worried about the borrower losing the receipt. So it's a stira. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we do write receipts, and we know in general we don't write receipts. Says Gemara, kishe shoivarta mitaycha. You know what Rabbi Yehuda means in the Mishnah? That we write a receipt on the ksuba? It doesn't mean that now the husband holds on to a receipt that he paid half. It means you write on the original ksuba a receipt for part of it. So if she's going to pull out the ksuba on the ksuba itself, it will say that part was already paid back. This is not a separate document that the husband has to hold on to, but rather it's the lender, the woman, has on the ksuba the yishayvar. Abayi Omar, Abayi says, "Afilu temag b'she'en yishayvar to mitaycha." You don't have to say the cases where the receipt is on the ksuba. Why? Really, we could say we make the husband hold on to a separate document. Why buy a regular loan that part of it was paid? Do we rework the whole thing? Because there, the borrower actually paid back. So since he actually paid back, we're afraid if he loses the receipt, we're going to collect from him again. Bishlam ahasam vade pari. There he definitely paid. So dima mirkas tavarta. We're afraid he might lose the receipt. Umapik lay lashtara. And then the lender will take out the shtar v'hadar gavi zim nachrine and collect another time. Hacha, but over here, in this case, in the Mishnah, the guy did not pay the ksuba. It's just she's doing him a favor and saying, yeah, he gave me part of the ksuba. Hacha vada yoavla milsa ba'amahi. Over here, vada yoavla. Did he definitely give her money? No, milsa ba'amahi. Damrele, she's just saying he gave it. So she's doing him a favor and claiming that he paid it to give him a little reprieve. So then we tell you, pal, if you want the reprieve, you better hold on to the receipt. But you know, we're not going to take so many precautions to be concerned, well, maybe he'll lose the receipt. Well, then if he loses the receipt, she'll actually collect what she's owed. Since she wasn't actually paid in this case. She's just doing him a favor. So then we say to the guy, you better hold on to the receipt. We say to her, if you guard the receipt, good. If you don't guard it, you're causing yourself a loss. So we have, again, normally Rabbi Yehuda by regular loan holds that we don't write a receipt. Why in the Mishnah do we write a receipt? Rabbi Yirmiya says, it's talking about the receipt is written on the ksuba itself. Abayi says it's because in this case, he never really paid her. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Abayi lo yamar krib yirmiya, Bishlama Abayi didn't want to say that the shoiver was written in it. You know why? Loi katani shavarta mitaycha. Because the Mishnah doesn't say that we write a receipt in the ksuba itself. Ela Rabbi Yirmiya, my time are lomer kabayi. Why didn't Rabbi Yirmiya say like abayi? That the answer to the stira is that in our Mishnah, since in fact he never paid, so that's why you could write a receipt. Says the Gemara, that's not a good enough reason. Because abayi holds that if you're going to write a receipt in by a ksuba, you might come to write a receipt by a regular loan, and in that case, that's not an option, because it's not right to have the borrower have to hold on to it. A shiver over here, atu a shiver in general. Okay, now this din is very interesting. This din that if a woman wants, she could write, you know what? He already paid me part of the ksuba. It sounds like it's only if she writes it, but she can't say, yeah, he already paid me. She can only write it, but she can't say it. Now, in general, there's a din. You can't stipulate against what it says in the Torah. If the Torah says you have to give 200 zuz for a ksuba, you can't make any stipulations against it. But apparently, when you write something, it's permitted. Because if you're writing it, it's only monetary. So if it's monetary, it's like amoichal. So then why do you have to write it? Why can't you just orally say, he gave it? Says the Gemara, taima de kasva. The reason this works is because it was written. Aval al pebet orally. Loi, this doesn't work. Amai, why? Davar shabim mamainhu. This is a monetary issue. V'shamina le Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Amar davar shabim mamain. When it comes to monetary, tnai kayam, a stipulation works even orally. The Tani we learned in a braisa. Ha'omer li shasonu says to a woman, Harei mikudesh li amanash ein lach alai sherek sosvayna. Let's say someone says to a woman, I'm marrying you on condition I don't have to give you clothes, I don't have to give you food, I don't have to give you clothing, I don't have to give you marital relations. So halach is harei ze mikudesh. It's a good marriage. Utnai batel. And the tnai is batel because you can't make a stipulation against what the Torah says. Divrei Ramer, this is opinion Ramer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bedavar shabemamain tnai kayam. Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to monetary law, the stipulation is effective. Basically, you could say that you're not going to give the woman clothing or food. Kesavar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds. So we see that you could be masna mashakasa b'tayra. You could make an oral stipulation by monetary law against the tayra. So why is it only if you write a receipt? Why is it only if she writes a receipt that she received part of the ksuba? Even if she declares orally, it should be effective. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that you could make an oral stipulation against the tayra, but he holds the ksuba is the rabbanon. And when it comes to the Rabbanon, they have to safeguard their enactments even more. Kesavar Rabbi Yehuda holds, Ksuba de Rabbanon, V'chachamim asu chizuk l'divreyim yosem yishal Taira. And the rabbis made a strengthening for their words even more than the Taira law. Okay, Rabbi Say, we'll hold it over here. Stay tuned for Nun Vav Amod Beis. Okay, Shkoyach everyone. Agutu Moed.
Time for two or three questions?
Yeah, sure. Give me 10 seconds, okay? Yeah. Okay. I just have to make sure. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.